mediocrity defined as the quality or state of being mediocre.
Well, no shit. Thanks for nothing, Miriam and or Webster.
Okay. Mediocre, of moderate or ordinary to low quality, value, ability, or performance.
Is he talking about how I go or how you gamble?
Wait a minute. Is this an oxymoron podcast? Happy hours are always awesome. They're never mediocre. You know what? Screw it. We've done 12 f***ing takes. The missus has called my phone 7 times, which means she's hit the bottle already pretty hard. I need to get home. 3, 2, 1. You're the best. It's time for another edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour, where anything is up for grabs. Golf, gambling, football, gambling on football, Plato's influence on modern culture. Hey, that's cool. My kids love Plato. Here are your guys, Millar and JSG. Good luck, fellas.
Button has been hit, and we are now live in person for the first time, I think, since March 12th of last year. So welcome in, Mediocre Happy Hour, episode number
47. It's the Tom Gladden episode. That's the first 47 that comes to mind that is not personal for our Mets fan who is here, but it just happened to be the 47 just because that was my wife's favorite player. So that's, and I don't know if anyone remembers, but the Twins beat the Braves in the 1991 World Series. Also,
that one time.
That was the last time any team in Minnesota won a World Championship.
Was that Kirby Puckett time?
It was. Nice. Game 6, catch off the plexiglass, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
So, yeah, that's right.
We will see you tomorrow night. Well, before we dive in, we'd like to welcome our most recent champ, first time guest, Mr. Tom Knight.
Hey. Welcome. It is a pleasure to be here. This is the best part of winning. I'm gonna be serious for a minute. Shit talking shit. But after the Rose H, which was eventful.
Oh, we'll get there.
This is gonna be one of my other winning. I've wanted this interview for years. You know it. I've done for both. I'm here, and I want to note before I give it back to you is Gladden won his 300th game with the Mets. It's a sore spot for Braves fans.
Okay. I'm just glad you're funny.
That's all.
Is that kind of like a Brett Favre having a good season with the Vikings, kind of knowing the Packers kind of?
Yeah, it is. Now, but he paid us back because we blew a 7-game lead with 17 to play in 2007. And he got his tits lit in the final game of the year. So Braves fans have one last laugh. But Braves fans hate it. I'm like, hey, remember when he won his 300th at Wrigley? What jersey was he wearing?
But, yeah, not bitter. Yeah, no bitterness. No.
Right. Never Braves fans. They don't.
No.
I still give shit from Braves fans about the Twins, how they're a rival. We're like, we played in the World Series once. Like, that's the whole list.
That one time 23 years ago.
Good God, man. So, and actually, as I realize, this isn't your first appearance, Tom, but it's the first one that you've earned. I don't want to say earned. Earned's the wrong
word. That's right.
We call this first official appearance.
Yeah, exactly. That's 100% right. This is the first one I've earned. This is the first real one. I don't recognize the other ones. Like Stu Gotts with Kevin Durant titles. I don't recognize them.
Your personal record book. This is your first.
It's correct. This is not on the record.
I mean, show me the rings. Show me the rings. How many rings does LeBron have? Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, welcome to you, Lizzie. Local celebrity, you know, is as it is. He's a local damn celebrity. AM champion as well. I think the AM champion is more important than the local celebrity.
Right, I think so.
Yes.
I think so, with all due respect to your profession. I want to make sure that's all right.
No, that's fine. I'd rather have people come up and ask me questions about the AM than what's going on in the Florida State. I'll be happy to talk about that.
Well done. Well done.
Well, I mean, as we talk about the
AM,
we're going to get to your round in a little bit, and Lamar and I got to talk about what we did in our rounds, but I know you played with some of the other fellas, and you know, what was for that course that day, you can tell us what you thought about the course, and also kind of what was like for your course.
Was that your first Country Oaks experience?
No, I played when Haraga had won the event. He and Scott Woods took it to the final two holes, and there was some drama there. So I had known the course. It didn't look like it did the first time. It was in rougher shape this time. I like how you leave it to me to bash.
course, hey, Country Oaks, we will be back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they just punched the greens. So that, I don't really blame on them. I'm sure in a week or two. Well, I'm trying to be civil here.
I mean, you won, and you're already yelling at the golf course.
No, well, everybody was yelling at the golf course.
Yes.
Weren't they? I'll get into that later. But
my hand is raised for those of you on the YouTube feed.
I was on a team with Bill Fredericks. We were Team Mets. We got very much into it. We had a Shea Stadium sign.
That was nice.
That was very well done.
I was decked head to toe. We were ready for it. We played a little Meet the Mets action. That was a fun day. And then I was playing Haraga for the coin. And he had some magic in his golf swing that day. He's coming back around now that he's back in the group. And it's so great to see him personally and physically.
Right.
But he was with Bob Burton.
Hashtag Vax.
I don't know what their team name was. Oh, geez. I don't know.
I don't know if y'all had team names or not. Vax, I mean, it's just nice to be here in person as we are three fully vaccinated men.
It's just nice
to have this. Granted, some people would tell you it was an option before. I erred on the side of like living for sure.
Not getting blood clots and heart attacks.
Yeah, it's just, good to be
it's here. Good times.
I guess laying me around with Bill, Braga, Burke, and any highlights, lowlights, anything that you'd like the other medios to kind of bring attention to?
Sure. Well, I'll start with Braga, who really made a push of the turn. That match was not – it was really weird, just personally, the balancing act between trying to win the AM but then defend the coin. And defending the coin was the first priority.
What ball did you start on?
We started on 18.
Oof.
18-1 is a really hard one.
That's a rough go.
Hey, we are back. We're pretty sure.
Are we back now, Mark?
We're back now. Hey, first time in history of Mediocre Happy Hour, number Tom Glavin, an audio issue that we had to kind of reset some things. So, where we were... I don't know how awkward this is going to be because that took us like fucking 10 minutes.
That's all right. Now, we'll be good. I mean, I'm sure everyone...
Yeah, we're live now.
Everyone will be disappointed that my audio is better now. I think that's where we're off to a bad start. So, well, I guess where we left off was Tom was on hole 18, hole 1, somewhere around
there. We started on 18. Sorry if this is a repeat story a little bit, but three of us went on into the trees on 18, and then it was just a total scramble from there. And I'll tell you that... Remembering Country Oaks the first time, I thought that the winning number was going to be 83, 84.
About
6 holes in. Well, because we've got a lot of guys who can play A to B to C. But the way that the fairways were, the way that the greens were, the greens, so I guess I'll go there, fine. I told Bill when we were playing, I'm like, it's like dating a crazy girl who's not enjoying and interested in sex either. Like, what?
Wait, you're supposed to get one of those two.
Exactly, because they were slow and they didn't receive the ball. You know, like, you need to do, if you're going to be slow, let me go flag hunting. But they were rock solid against approach shots.
Yes.
And then you couldn't putt them. They were like a 4.
Yeah.
And it was Plinko on top of that. So it was a tough day, but
I think we mentioned Plinko in our round at one point as well.
I probably annoyed the people when I with Bob and Rog. I'm like, it's Plinko, boys, and they're probably like, yeah, Tom, we've heard this for 16 holes. It's fucking Plinko.
We get it.
But Haraga, as I said earlier, channeled the magic. He channeled the magic of around the turn of his first time through Country Oaks. Birkin got totally fucked on 9. I mean, terribly. He hits a drive over the water.
Oof.
And it's in the middle of the fairway.
Wish I could say the same.
And it's completely gone. Nobody can find it.
In the middle of the fairway?
I think it embedded because that fairway was the only one that was underwater.
Yeah.
And you've got to drop and hit 3. I told him personally, Bob, you can hit... We all saw it not splash and clear the water. But he was an honorable person. He played it 3.
Got to take it, man.
And then...
this isn't the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah. And then with Bill, it was just a matter of a couple of things here or there. But he had a couple of really, really... Like number 11, brilliant up and down. And he was all over it. He was a good teammate that day. But it was just... It was an up and down round where if you're going to fucking lose your shit, you're not going to score well.
Yeah.
Because that course is going to piss you off. If you could stay, and you could speak to this because you shot the low gross, Joey, but if you could stay calm, well, that was half the battle, probably 3/4 of the battle.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, that was one of those things where around hole 9 or 12, I had this moment where I'm like, I'm playing all right. I might be in this thing.
Yep.
But I'm like, with this course, and you know, you think you got to go low and that thing, but you realize, oh, okay, because it was just tough going out there. And I guess to segue into tough going, Millar, do you want to talk about your biggest right? Because we got to play together, so I know how it went, so, but I think it's better coming
you were
from
a witness. Well, funny tangent to what you just said of when, you know, everybody was in it early, you were the low gross. Pretty much the exact opposite over here. Starting on 15, I forget what hole it was. I don't have it pulled up, but in the first two or three holes, I think I had a 10 or an 11. So, yeah.
It was hole 7.
There you go.
The par 5 nightmare hole.
What's an 11? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, hey.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Mr. Lang.
Yeah. Somebody's Yeah. It was over at that point. And then, so honestly, once you know it's over and you're not going to contend, what I tend to do is just try out new things and think about different swings and doing it this way. And that usually makes it worse. So, one of my worst rounds in recent memory, honestly, even worse than the 101 moniker that I currently carry and will forever.
Yeah, that a little 105 plus 5 for that
plus,
ass.
Plus, I was plus 5?
Well, no, for your penalty stroke. So that's the TLHMG nomenclature.
Yes, I understand. Yes. But I thought it was 106 plus 5.
Oh, no. It's, you know, 105 plus 5, so well done.
Yeah, well done. So a couple of things, yeah. So that gets us through the 11 I had on that hole. The other one at Country Oaks, I think I've played there either 4 or 5 times. And that was our, probably 8th hole, 6th hole, something like that. We started on 15, so...
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about hole 2?
Yeah, hole number 2.
6.
Par 3.
Six.
It's a par 3, yep. 108 yards.
Yeah, you can throw it on the green.
You can throw it on the green. And I said to my my cartmate, teammate, Piggy, I said, every time I've played here, I've hit it in the water. And I was playing from the tips at this time because I had won the last gasp.
And you won the Bastards, Millar. The last
or whatever. The Bastards. And
oh, whatever. The Bastards. Whatever.
I got.
Oh my god.
What the fucking fuck?
I have all 10 due respect. Fucking checks. I don't know which one came when.
It's just, the Bastards.
I have
sir.
So many of them.
Check your privilege.
I forgot that we moved the Bastards from middle to end last year. I mean, but I also won so much last year. I, you know, not quite sure.
Asian American, please.
Nomenclature, dude.
Preferred nomenclature. You're killing your father, Larry. I told Piggy. I don't know if I told you guys, but as we were pulling up to 2, I said, I've hit it in the water every time I've played here. And I mean, it was tough. I was nowhere near the lead, but... guess what? From the tips, I topped it into the water for the 5th time at Country Oaks. I have never hit the green in one.
This is another episode of Positive Swing Thoughts by Matt. you're just crushing it.
Yeah,
just as a reminder, make sure you think about hitting it directly into the water
into
before
the water.
You hit an A.
Well, no. So you have to do it a couple of ways. You have to blade it. You have to chunk it. And you have to shank it.
Oh, so you've celebrated the entire catalog?
The entire collection. Yes. So there's not much more to say about what we did. I do want to say kudos to you and Dan for the Viking outfits and the fucking shields.
I got to give that to Dan. He not only did the shields himself, he was painting it after we did the Masters movie preview. And so he's got all of us who were there and John Morley, because El Presidente joined us, and he's just fucking painting shields on the Zoom.
Holy. And he left it. Remember, it was offered back to him. He's like, ah, the hell with it. You won! Take that! And it's like, you know, what a memento!
And I will say, kudos to Dan. He kind of hung in the whole day, and we were kind of in there, and we were wearing the Viking shit, because it was a little bit warmer than we had anticipated.
Yep. It got hot quick.
The thing with the Viking stuff, there's a couple layers there, so there's a lot going on, but at the time, it was like in the 60s and 70s every day, so you're like, this is going to be fine.
Perfect.
Not today. It was like 80-something with little wind.
And not with a wig and a beard either, so...
Yeah, and I, as you can imagine with Dan, he's not going to do it only half-assed. He only does it full-assed, pretty much.
Yeah.
So. But no, that was a fun day. I mean, it really was, like I said, Dan was pretty solid all around. I mean, I think him and I mean, he had a birdie out there, but...
He did? Yeah, shit.
But the rest was kind of, for both us, I mean, before we started, I kind of walked you through my round real quick, and it's a boring round. It's a good round, yeah, given the conditions that day, but there wasn't anything fun about it. It just was. But it was, I will say, it was fun to be on my 17, which is hole 13, which is one of the hardest holes on the course, having a chance to win. Mm-hmm. It went pear-shaped from there, but it was just good to be there, being like, yep, oh shit, okay, let's go.
And carrying five, fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, it was worth it. I mean, because there are people out there saying that you can't compete in penalty strokes, and I think you can.
You can.
And if you can't, fucking get over it. Because every penalty stroke, every person who has penalty strokes in this league has earned them. And Lang, yep, you're going to get there again soon, and you, yep, will have earned them. And at that time, I just hope you don't become one of the ones who complain about the penalty.
No, listen.
Not fucking soon enough he gets there with the penalty.
Well, listen, my first round, I had 10, and I almost, yep, won. But Pete beat me by a shot. I shot 81, and I hadn't touched. You know what? The entire 2020.
Didn't you come into the league with what, 8?
It was 10.
Yes, 10.
It was 10. I shot an 81, net 91, and Ford shot 90. I didn't care that day. I was like, good job, Pete. Because that's the way that's
what
you're supposed to
do it. But I'm saying, I mean, from 10 down to 1.
Oh, well. Oh, please. Oh, please. If you know me, I try, man.
I see what you're doing there.
I fucking try, and I failed for a long time. Real quick, I do need to note, Haraga hit a bomb of about 35, 40 feet on 10. So he hit it right down the damn middle on 10, and there was an uphill putt. It was, yeah, the pin was back, right, back, left, whatever it was, but he was on the front side of the green. And he hit a bomb that was dead central, pin in, pin out, doesn't matter. It's going right down the middle.
Nice.
That was probably the putt of the putt of the day in the group, considering there weren't many true putts.
Yeah.
And it was a no-doubter. How could it be no-doubter with Plinko? Only Haraga can tell you, because he knows the secrets of country.
On number 10, wasn't that the one where we were all on the green, probably except me?
It could.
And then we didn't make a putt? None of us made the birdie putt?
Yeah. And it was, I think that was the one I four-putted. Because it was one, the hole was, like, I earned a three-putt, and then the hole was kind of jacked up, and I didn't, frankly... That was my fault. It just didn't. I didn't take my time. And oh, good, saw a little four putt for that, yeah, ass. As we're all on the green here. A
little double. Nice.
Yeah, I think it was hole four. It was. We really did it.
No, I think that was 10. That's what I'm saying. I think it was 10.
Hole four had us. Later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's enough of golf. Do we want to? Do we want to get to the post game? Of AMM, do we need to yell at Dan about something?
No, I mean, I mean, I just wanted to say, I mean,
we can yell at Dan about something.
Nah, I don't know. I think Dan did such a good job with the Vikings thing. You know, it was gonna, for the whole year, it was gonna be a Bears outfit because we did a Vikings Bears thing, and then, yep, fucking thanks Mitch Trubisky for being shit at football. So I appreciate that.
Well done.
I really,
and they got Andy Dalton this year though. They're saved. It's okay.
The Red, yeah, Rocket.
I love how their first thing, it just says QB1 and it, yeah, shows Andy Dalton. You're like, huh?
Well, the drapes match the seat, so yes, we're all good. Yeah. Yeah.
Bravo.
But yeah, if you think it's time for the champions interview, I say...
Well, I think we need to get to the Rose Day, too.
Well, that's part of the champions interview.
Well, okay, carry on.
It's been a minute since we've had a champions interview, so we forget what the question is.
I feel like I'm a child in front of parents who are fighting.
it's not. You have to fight a little bit.
I'm going
to
stare at my peas. I'm just going to stare at the peas and the corn, and I'm just going to.
Well, but Lane, you are here, and you did win.
Damn right I am.
Congrats.
So the first question we start with is, what was your peak and what was your pit? Is that the correct nomenclature?
That is the correct nomenclature. Asian American, please.
The peak, well, it was a late peak. It was the finish. Once I saw, I was still in contention because at the turn, so I'm on number 10. Nicky Maz is through 10. And Maz was carrying two shots in the day, and he's 10 over for the tournament at the time. And I'm like, oh, my God. He's 8 over, and he's past, you know, the turn? Jesus. Because I'd seen enough of Maz playing in the offseason, 101, you know this. Or, I'm sorry, 101 at JSG, you both know this. The numbers that he put up, oh my God. Like, easy breezy 82s and 84s, I'm like, he's back. There he is. And at Country Oaks, I'm like, holy shit, this doesn't scream Nicky Maz run it and gun it, hit it 300 yards, and then later, kind of, I'm like, oh my God. So he's doing this. We're all playing for fourth or fifth, man.
You must have had a tune box.
And probably did. The right kind of tunes. Only 60s and 70s, brother. Come on. Bobby DeChambeau. Come on. So it was about 13-14 tee, meaning we're done with that many holes. And then I saw that it was kind of gravitating back. And I was like, oh, come on. Just put some pars together. Let's put some pars together. So 13 was the tough par 4 on that course. It's the one handicap. I carded a bogey there, which I took and ran with. That was where the pin was on the new sod.
Sod. That was the best.
Yeah, so I was on the back, so I had to putt from the regular sod to the new sod. I two-putted, took it and ran. I parred 14, the short guy. I actually almost made birdie there. And then 15, I will remember this the third time I played Country Oaks, I swear to God, because 15, that water on the right, on the par 5, mm-hmm. I never know that's there. Like, I hit it, right. And it's like maybe 5 yards clear of the
Found
left.
You!
Right. Got out of there with a bogey. 16 to 17 were the last two holes. Like, so, I know I'm summarizing a lot, but the peak for me was the end. The pit was holy shit. That front nine. I lost my cool on 4. That's the easiest hole on the course. It's the one where you hit like 7 iron and you have wedge in it.
Yep. And you're hitting, the dog leg right?
The dog leg right. Yeah. I mean, that's a nothing hole. So the first time I played it, I was playing with Joey. I had like 90 in. I bladed through the green. And this time, I had 105 in. I'm like, good. We can take a full swing here. I bladed through the green.
Oh, shit. I hit the sickest chip shot from the road that was going behind four green.
Oh, that little between the bushes? Oh, I stuck that's nasty.
I stuck that shit.
Yeah, that was sick.
Yeah,
that was
so nasty. I go through it in 2, and I drop, and I duff the first chip. I'm like, great. The second one I hit to about 3 feet from, and it's running away from you. Bergen's like, holy shit, dude, that's brilliant. I'm like, thank you, man. So I putt it. It goes in the left half of the hole, not the lip, and it drops on the goddamn plastic lining of the cup, which is like an oval inside a circle. Yeah, that cup was like an oval inside a circle, and it bounces off the plastic and goes out. And both Bob and Steve go, oh, like they want to puke. So do I. I'm furious. And at that point, I end up in a divot on the next hole. On my approach to the par 5, I have the ball on number 9. It's a low line drive hook. Spin back an inch, and it's covered in mud. I'm like, okay, this course.
It's a fun course.
Okay.
Hey, but we'll be back, Country Oaks. Don't worry.
The pit was to deal with that shit, flush it, and move forward. But that course, if it could bend you over, it was going to bend you over. There's no doubt. And it was just a matter of, can you deal with it? And thankfully, you know, to the tune of an 88, whoop-de-doo.
So what did you know on your last hole, what did you know on the tee and then through the hole?
I knew I was in it. So 16 was the par 3. That was actually the best shot I hit all day. That was into the wind because it was going in towards the clubhouse. And it's probably, I think it was like 176, 178. I had a 4-iron. That's my 195 club. Stuck it to 10 feet. Left the putt 2 feet short. Bob let me know about that one. tapped it in for par, but that's okay. Usually in that situation, if you watch me on 18 when I come to play with the group of you guys, I usually blow my putt on the final hole like 10 feet by because I just feel the adrenaline of people rooting you on and shit. And then on 17, which was my last hole, I went 7-iron, 9-iron. Because of that creek in the middle?
Yeah. You
just don't, I don't know where it is. Like, I look at the drawing, and I'm like, I don't know how far that is. So if I hit one 155, 160, I'm good. My hands were shaking the final half an hour of the round.
That's how you know you're nervous.
I was so, because the leaderboard was coming back to me. It wasn't like I was going and, like, I took it. It was just coming back, and like, oh, my God. This could happen. Just don't fuck it up. But that's a terrible thought. 17 was a 7-iron.
Again, good swing thoughts.
You're right. Yeah.
Your other lesson in good swing thoughts.
It worked.
Don't fuck it up.
Hat tip to Nicky Maz because we were on 18T to start and we were the second group. So because it was a little bit backed up to start, I got to see Nicky and Pete come through the green with, I forget who they were playing with. I think two of the new guys. And I saw Nicky's putt have like, oh my God, break to it. And I was able to use that towards the end of 2-putt. Yeah. So thank you, Nikki, for that. I owe you a Budweiser, tall boy. Never a Bud Light. But yeah, it was quite a ride, man. It was quite a ride.
That's too damn much analysis and looking at other people's putts to see how it's going to affect yours for this group.
Well, you never knew. I was just watching the putt. I was like, holy shit. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Remember when Nikki did this 5 hours ago? I'm like, yeah, let's remember this. But the thing was, man, like, I never knew when it was over because I knew that if JVP went one under in his first 5 holes at Killarn and he reported those scores, that we were in a putt-off. Or if he went 2 under in his first 5 holes at Killarn with his 210 tee time, that I lost. And I'm looking at Scroff, and they're still not reported. If he reports that is, you know, he birdied 4 and 5 at Killarn, which a lot of people can do.
You know what? That would have
been. I've lost.
That would have been epic if he logged on to Scroff and just started
playing. Yeah,
started
playing his scores. Yeah, played it 3 under.
It was impossible. Well, and in truth, like I didn't know. I thought maybe the people in his group had just stopped reporting. So I was like, oh, I don't know, because it was you, Joey, yeah. And it was me.
Yeah.
Shaq was in at 19. I knew that on the last hole, if I had doubled, then at least Shaq and I are in a playoff.
Yeah.
So doubles out. You got a bogey or better. And then the par, I'm like, well, okay. I thought I won with the par, but I was like, oh, fuck. Joey could birdie the last hole. And Burke is like, that's happened before, man. I'm like, shit.
That was me. That was you at Country Oaks.
Well, fucking course it was. And then after that was over, I'm like, all right. What if JVP does well? I don't know. But then it's just, he's still on 13. I'm looking at it right now. He's still through 13 holes, so we'll see.
I guess if he ever finishes this round, he still has.
We'll have to redo this whole podcast.
What's the statute of limitations on that? Because it's been a few weeks now.
I think since we've had another tournament, or we're about to have another tournament, I think that's when it expires.
So once the first tee ball is off, I can celebrate.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But not until then.
All
right. Speaking of celebrating, the Rosé Chug. Was introduced a different kind of angle this year.
Oh, look at you.
You
don't like it.
I have thoughts on it.
So now I get why you want to get to the Rosé Chug.
It's on my list. It's where my pen is right now. The Rosé Chug, very cool idea. So you want to go through kind of what your thought was as you were awarded the check in the Rosé Chug.
Okay, well, first of all, it's the greatest feeling in the world. Next to being married in the last couple of months, of course, right?
But, oh, geez, she's not going to listen.
Yeah,
to this,
well.
So. Just in case. I mean, early on, it's worth
doing.
You never
know, man. You never know.
Oh, yeah, there's no ring on there yet.
Yeah.
So if you want to continue to get laid, yeah, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you, I was more nervous for the 18th hole of this than I was, this wedding ceremony. Now the the engagement's different, but the
she'll love to hear that.
Yeah. But
I won a tournament.
I had no intent.
I won 37 cents, but I'm more nervous about that than marrying you.
All right. Looking at you guys, I think you guys know this story about college or life in general. There are some days when you sip it and it tastes great, and there are some days when you sip it and you're like, this isn't going to go well. I did not want to chug the whole thing. I was going to pour it out for anybody who wanted it. I thought, since the OGs have stood against the noobs and there's been all this trash talk, and you guys win every goddamn tournament before the new prince opened the gates to heaven once again. The new prince sits, he's elite for that. But let's unify here. Anybody who wants a sip of the action, you got it. And then I was going to sip a little bit and call it a day. But it was going down okay.
It was awesome.
Oh,
it tasted good.
And if you take a look at the video, if you want to Zapruder the damn thing, there's a moment where I realize, oh, no, this is going to happen. And I rest my hand on my belly, and I'm like, oh, let's lock it in.
That's how you got to do it.
Even if there was the amount left that I poured out, I would have been able to finish it. It was because everybody was happy. I heard Pete. Pete's like, come on, Tom.
You're fishing.
Well, because that's the thing. I think around the moment that you realize you get there, I think people watching realize, like, oh, fuck, he's got this.
He's
and that's when it turns from, like, this is cool, like, let's fucking go. Let's get it, Tom.
I mean, I think it's just under a half. Once you see you're under a half and you're still in your collection, it's over. You're doing it.
It was, I'm telling you guys, just to get real for a moment, sentimental. The first time I played in the tournament and I lost by a shot to Pete, I didn't know shit. I was like, let me see if I can beat these yokels out here. Whatever. I didn't know most of y'all. Of course, I knew you. You were the guy who brought me in, Matt, but...
Yokel.
Then you get to love the people you're playing with. You get to know them, and they're all awesome. And you're like, oh, shit, I want to win. I want to win in front of these guys because it would mean a lot. And then you do? Oh, man. The adrenaline, it's awesome.
It's fun.
It just, it feels great. And then I remember seeing you after I was done playing. I want to give you the biggest hug in the world. I was like, finally,
it's
baby.
Fun to win.
Finally, let's do it. So, yeah. The chug was on, man. It was on.
Good. Attaboy. I'm proud of you.
I guess what was your thoughts on the Rosé chug on that attack at it, Millar?
So, how to approach this, I'm not quite sure. But I think the offering of your Rosé to other people shouldn't have been to everybody. Should have just been to the noobs.
It was to the noobs. I said, noobs, we are united.
I did not hear that.
Okay. All right.
I'm done. That's all I had.
That was it? No, it was to the news.
That's all I had.
I'm glad we could unite here. Yeah. You know, it was
what a day.
What a moment. What a moment. And it was actually well done on some of your answers, Lang, because you kind of hit a couple of the other questions.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's just because like my biggest one was like, for so many recently, he's like, hey, how does this win feel compared to the other ones? But this was the first one. Anyway, so we just got a nice, genuine answer there. And Millar, do you want to talk anything about the tournament before we play Get to Know Emilio?
No, I think I'm good. I sucked. You were wholly average, and T-Lang won, chugged the rosé. Yeah, my checklist is checked off here, sir.
Did you say you were wholly average?
Yeah, I mean, he forgets about the most important trophy in all of the land.
What, the team trophy at the AMA?
No, it took me a long time to understand where Joe P. was coming from with the gross trophy. But, you know, you hear the chapter leader say, and with an 88, this person won, and you're like, No, nay.
Hey.
I know a guy who shot an 87 that day. And the problem is, though, you kind of sound like a dick when you say that because you didn't really go through any filters. It was just like, oh, shit, I won the Joe P. trophy. Oh. So it was a good moment.
I apologize for holy average.
No, it was boring.
I'm sorry.
Was
a boring man. Thank you. Yeah. Not exciting round.
No, it was boring, but yeah. It was just kind of... What you need?
That was the course.
It's what you needed that day.
That course was fuck. I mean, with the wind, oh my god!
You beat the shit out of me. So you know, it happens.
All right,
get to know Emilio.
We won't do these always, but you know, for our first timers, I only have three questions thus far. I'll start with the first one, and this, I mean, we might have touched on it, but our first question is: what's been your favorite TLH MGA moment so far?
I think we just heard about that.
You did. But I mean, again, if you want me to get a little mushy, it's just to know Birkin. So the first time I played, Birkin was not happy at that MGA years ago at 18 green. Also, I'm kind of glad that this was a shotgun start.
Bob just
because
said,
the
you.
Nerves of being able to finish. That's different. That's a different challenge versus
yes.
being alone on an island.
Oh, yeah.
I also got to thank Bill, too, because Bill... we were looking for Bill's ball for a little extra time, and I was mashing the refresh button to see if he'd finish 18. I wanted to know if a 2 or 3 putt was going to win, and I got an extra 2 or 3 minutes. I'm like, come on, is it a 2 or 3?
Lose your ball, Bill.
But anyway, Birkin, that first day, I'll never forget this, because I kind of knew him, and I knew he was a Mets fan,
right.
So we got along. But I'm done, and he goes, hey, buddy, what's up, man? I'm like, hey, it's great to see you, Bob. He's like, how'd you do today? Smile on his face. I'm like, shot 81, man. I played pretty okay. He goes, fuck you, Len. Fuck you. Like, he immediately went from this bright and sunshiny smile to evil. And he goes, fuck you. Fuck you doing here. And that was the beginning. I'm like, I'm going to love these guys. Then I sat on the deck after Pete won. And everybody's gone. Everybody had left. And Pete and I are sitting there. He's like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm like, nice to meet you too, man. He goes, you like drinking? I'm like, and I'm like, yeah, man, I do. He goes, right, all right. And he just kind of nods and smiles at me for like 2 or 3 seconds after I say it. I'm like, okay.
You also want to go to the club?
I guess you want another round or something? That sounds good to me. But like, that was the beginning of falling in love with the chapter. To the point now where I can't fucking wait to play in Fort Myers. So yeah, I know the answer should be this win, but getting to know everybody, God, man, this group is so fucking awesome. I love them all.
Welcome. Mushy ass Tom.
I know.
You need it from time to time.
It ain't the captain. That's just the truth,
and,
man.
And it must. I mean, I've had it a few times on this pod as well, where I'm just like, I'm talking about too much about how we have a good group of guys. But it's true, and it makes the tournament when you do win something, it makes it matter more.
Yeah.
And what amazes me from, well, every year is when you go out to Vegas and you're like, we got a great group of guys. You go out there, they're all the exact same. Yeah. They're all the same great group of guys like we are. It's insane. Really funny.
Brotherhood, man.
Yeah.
Brotherhood.
No, it's great.
We all suck.
So,
stewardship.
Yeah.
Stewardship is nice. Next question.
Get to know Emilio.
All right, I'll be a little more salty here.
No, what's your favorite hole in Tallahassee to play?
Oh, shit. I dropped this question on you recently. Man, I don't know that it's true, but it's the first one that popped to my mind, and we got a podcast.
If you say four Killarn,
we are
done, and we are revoking your AM.
I've birdied that hole, but that's not my favorite hole.
Well, fuck you.
It's a humble brag.
We won't end the podcast. But fuck you.
I love 18 at Killarn because of the the tee shots before you. If you mash it, it goes an absurd distance, especially if it's not wet outside. So it's like, I hit it 330 today. It's like, oh, that's great. Oh, the hole was 40 yards downhill, but I'm not going to mention that part of it. And then the 18th, if you're talking about an MGA event, that is a great green for people to collect around and watch.
True.
It's a pretty looking hole. I don't know. Like, I think on the north course, 11 would have been my favorite if it still existed, that par 3 down the hill. That's a fun hole, man. You remember?
It would be 11. There's only 9.
No, I always play that as a back 9, so that's me
talking. Oh, the par 3?
Yeah, number 2.
Yeah.
The par 3 down the hill. Yeah. But, like, I just love those kinds of holes where, like, everything's in front of you. It looks like a goddamn calendar. I love those ones. So, 18's a great finishing hole. And, of course, my man Stan Jensen, Memorial. What's up? I didn't know him whatsoever, but the bench on 18 is the Stan Jensen. And it's always pointing towards the tee at 11 on that course. I was going to say 2 again, but Stan wants to see you hit your tee balls. So anytime I go there on 18, I swing that bitch 90 degrees so he can watch the shots down the hill. But that's the Stan Jensen Memorial.
Shit.
That guy might have been a piece of shit. I don't know.
I don't know, but I love that
guy.
I like him.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
I guess on the other end, Mr. Lang, what is the hole in Tally that you hate the most?
Oh, Jesus. That's a toughie. Anybody got some filler content while I think about that?
Mine is probably 4 at Killarn or 1, 2, 3, 4. What's the par 5 at Southwood? 5 or 6?
4.
No,
hole 4 is in Tallahassee kind of sucked.
You know, those two.
And, you know, I guess while we're also feeling maybe a little bit, mine is a different answer because it's not. It's 13 at Highlandman, which is bad news for the upcoming Bastards. But it was. It's that hole that I know isn't that hard, but for some reason fucking kills me. The first time I ever broke 80 was at Highlandman, and I still took a double on that fucking hole.
Mm-hmm.
I shot a 38 on the back that day, and it's because of the double on that fucking hole.
Okay. In that ilk, I'll give you one that is set for the Bastards. 16 at Highlandman. It just doesn't fit my eye. That tee shot's removed.
It's always right.
It's removed.
Yeah.
You can't go left. You can't go right. I mean, and it's...
It's totally true.
It's tighter than it looks. Like, it looks like there's a ton of space on the tee, but there's really not. And then when I played in the Seminole Cup against Ian a few years ago, I hit behind the ball, but it was so muddy that the club stopped in the ground and I hurt my arm. Like, I legitimately hurt my arm and my wrist trying to hit the ball.
So you blame that tee box?
I don't know that I've ever gotten better than a 6 on that hole in my life. And I've played that hole a million times. Wow. I don't think I've ever parred the fucking hole.
That's funny.
That hole is ridiculous, but yeah, there are others. I'm sure 9 at Southwoods. No,
Highlands. Oh, 9 at Southwoods.
That's just bullshit.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a great call. I was gonna say number 11 at Highlandman. I don't think I've ever. I don't know. I've never birdied it for sure, but
yeah, that's a tough birdie if you
Jesus.
Do. Yeah,
hate that hole. 2-tier green, fuck that.
So, Millar, I'm going off script because I just thought of one other get-to-know-a-medio question, and I'll ask it if you want to come up with one random one.
Oh,
as well.
I have a good one.
Oh, then I will pass it over to you, sir.
Oh, well, I think you should go first with the random. I mean,
okay, yeah.
And then we finish with the biggie.
Have you guys answered your favorite hole in Tallahassee? Have you done that before on the pod?
Have you listened to our podcast before, sir? Do we need
to
do this?
I remember you had the power rankings of what best holes were ever 1 through 18, but just checking.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we ever have.
All right.
Sometimes the guest has to put the people on
agenda for next podcast.
Yeah, we
worst holes in Tallahassee.
Mine was just because it was get to know your medio, and we all tend to be sporting fellows. Oh, sure. Or actually, yeah. I use sporting fellows, but I meant sports fans. Sporting fellows has another understand. But I guess what is your favorite sports figure? You know, that for you,
player?
And, yeah, player. I mean, I'm assuming it's not an owner like Norm Green who moved to North Star from Minnesota.
How did you know? Dallas needed something. Oh man, sports figure. I mean, I don't know. Can I go with something kind of intangible?
Yeah, go with your gut, man.
All right, so I'd say if it's team sports, not an individual sport, it's National League New York Baseball. My dad was born in Brooklyn in the late '40s, and the Dodgers were a thing, of course, at Ebbets Field. He could walk to the park. The first game he saw was in 1954. He was 6 years old, and he saw Jackie Robinson play. He saw Jackie Robinson play baseball with his own eyes.
That's pretty cool.
That's unbelievable to me.
Isn't today 42 day?
It is. Yeah. Actually, it is. Maybe that's why it's the top of mind.
There you go.
But we were able to, because Baseball Reference is one of the great... I mean, the sportsreference.com family is one of the great things. Yeah. I mean, it's... Well, you love it. It's one big Excel spreadsheet.
Love it.
But we were able to track down the
game. Tables, dog.
He remembered details of the game that he saw, and he knew the team they were playing against, and they played like 8 of them. And we were able to pick it out of the line and see who was in the field that day, who hit home runs, who pitched, all that shit. And the Dodgers moved, and he was a Mets fan before I was born. I was born on the day that Bill Buckner booted the ball in 1986.
Heard that story.
That day. Yeah. Game 6, 1986.
Congrats.
So, thanks. Well, that's the last time the Mets have won the World Series. I've been alive for one. I was 2 fucking days old. But the best sports figure is, I guess, the specter of National League Baseball in New York. Even though it's even like I pay more attention to the Noles and the Lightning and all those things now, but that's just the most iconic thing I can think of. And
Roger Clemens,
it's been shit. Like Yankees fans are listening. They're like, we've won 15 times more championships than you have. But it's like, hey man, that's fine. That's just something that to me is kind
of
special.
No, there was Yankees fans at the start of this year being like, you don't know how hard it is to be a Yankee. I heard some people saying it's hard, so hard to be a Yankees fan. It's been so long. You're like, especially as a Twins fan, we've set a record for most consecutive losses in the playoffs. Most of those games were to the fucking Yankees. For them to say it's so tough, I'm just like, I fucking hate you so much right now.
There's a huge dick you can eat.
Yes. An entire bag, actually. Right here. A whole bag of dicks.
Whole bag of them.
Roger Clemens is in George's box!
Get out George's box! All right, Malar.
Have you ever seen anything in your life? all right, I guess the most important question of Get to Know a Medio is the last one. Who is your favorite OG?
Oh, shit.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
Who is my favorite OG? It's got to be Ross, right?
Sir.
I never met the guy.
Sir.
shit, man. That's okay, so.
Well, on the spot for that ass.
Are we counting Maz and Pete now because they've graduated to OG status?
Yes,
so
we are.
So is that like a fluid process? Is that just a fluid process?
From what I understand, yes.
So like
yes.
Who's on deck? The Petrowski's next? Like who's on deck to become?
I think that's probably true.
I would think so.
I think Petrowski and Phil probably too.
Actually, unless you win like the next 4 tournaments, then it might be you.
No. You guys can't have me. No, you've had
no.
To rain.
Yes, so I would say yes. As we understand it, it is a fluid process. More people come new, and noobs grow into olders.
Well, then listen. You know, I've known you forever, so you don't count.
Yeah, I'm out. I understood.
We've gotten to know each other pretty well, JSG, so you don't count. Like if you're just talking about from an MGA perspective, it's a tie between Maz and Pete. Man, I mean, like those two. Because you can
fucking
have
bruise, man.
You can have the weirdest conversations in the world, the most aggressive conversations, and maybe you're getting a little pointed because you disagree on something, but the next thing is, manja, and you got some appetizers in front of you because Nicki Minaj just ordered a bunch of mozzarella sticks and chicken fingers. Like, come on, let's go, eat it.
I have on my agenda here, we take notes, getting Mazzed.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that's a Maz event.
That has happened. And
Tosh got some appetizers.
Right. That exactly. Was terrible. Well, the appetizers are just the gateway to more beer or whatever. But, I mean, like, Birkin knows I love him. Haraga knows, too. And CL, you and I have come to an understanding. We had some shit talking going on the first year. But just those two are fucking characters, man. That's why I love them. They're just absolute characters. So,
so it wasn't Bagoosh? Is that what you're saying?
Is he an OG?
He is.
He is.
No shit.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. He was in one of the first tournaments, he shit his pants in the woods.
And he shit in the woods.
Is that real?
Yes. That's a real story.
No shit. Way to go, Bogus.
Yeah. Just living the dream, man.
That is an MGA story, unlike any other.
Yeah. That is of legend. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. That was well done.
Is that a good political answer?
Sure.
All yeah. Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah, we wait to do it in person to put the person on the spot as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
I like beating every OG equally, though. Is that okay?
That's fine.
No, hey, fair.
Do you have any, more get to know me questions?
I think we're good unless you got one.
No, I was going to move along to the coin challenges.
Yeah, same.
Since we have the king of the coin challenges.
Same.
Here.
Hey, the next challenger's here.
What's that? Yeah, that's damn right. Can we take a pause for a refill?
Yes, we can.
All right. And we're almost back.
That's my bad.
And we're back.
Hey, we're back. Welcome back. That must have been ages for you folks.
I mean, refills are required, but yeah, enjoy the, what do we got? Probably about a quarter second of silence. So.
Oh, shit. Well, we apologize in advance. This is the audio difficulties episode. So Lang, how many...
Good title.
How many coin challenges have you won at this point?
Well, including the actual winner over Scott Woods, who shot, what did he shoot, like 39 on the back that day?
That was like that solid like
54
or 39.
55-39, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
That was...
Little reverse meltdown.
Yes, it was. I wanted to get an award for that, but we got to find one that's tasteful.
I know what you're talking
that's
about.
Five. It's a win plus four defenses.
All
so
right.
It's five wins in a row.
So who have you beaten? So you've gotten... You beat...
Scotty Woods. Again, he had the bourbon at the turn. That was the turning point. I'm thankful you didn't have the bourbon. You were there.
That was the screenshot of the shooters, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that
right? was the Jack Daniels day?
No, because we had a Prohibition 9 without a cart girl, so he went in at the turn.
It was miserable. It was raining and cold, and nobody wanted to play. We both started out like pure ass, and then I righted the ship, and Scott was still not feeling good until he got the bourbon at the turn.
Yeah.
He got the bourbon at the turn, and it was...
You got to stop the ship at some point.
I shot 40. I needed to answer his ass, or else he would have retained. Wow. And then the second was Aussie. We played at Seminole, which was unbelievable. What a course!
It's a great course.
Oh my God, I carded an 8 to start that round.
Yep.
Yeah, you carded an 8 and then you shot an 85.
That's correct.
I was so scared. Another little fuck you.
I was
you.
So scared of that course because I heard Joe P had shot 99 or whatever it was. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Pete knows all the tricks.
No, Joe P played like shit that day, Joe.
And I apologize if I get this out of order. I'll try and pull up the doc very quickly.
No, it's better to...
So many victories. So many victories.
Plus, let's see. After that, was it Ian? Or did you play Ian?
I have not played Ian.
Steve was in there.
So Haraga was next. It was in the AMM. I didn't know if that was the delay because that was full 2 weeks. So I played Haraga, and that was a match until about 14 or 15. Haraga played... Again, for somebody who had just walked away from the MGA during the pandemic for safety purposes and personal reasons, God, he's come back really strong. And then the next one I played with this guy who's sitting across from you, 101.
That was, at least from my perspective, that was... You started poorly again, which is a theme.
It is. It's a goddamn... So like, we got to stop that shit.
I made up two strokes on the first hole... And then the hole two at Heilemann, which actually might be my actual most hated hole.
That's on the list.
I carded an 8, and I'm like,
bravo.
If I'm playing Lang, giving up... It was like, I knew I had to play well, but I'm like, you can't card an 8.
It's
like
a tall order. You had to beat me by 5 or 6.
Which is...
That's a lot.
I'm okay with giving it a shot. But yeah, I mean, that day, we had a nice bat going. Because I think for a while we were like 6 over after, or 2 over after 6 on the back.
That's... We were both on pace to shoot at 38 or 39, and then 16 undid us both.
Yeah.
I got a ruling that I was still in bounds and it was close on 16, that fucking hole. And and I still took me – I was not in the fairway until it was four. Oh, what a disaster. And then most recently was the match with Chris Klein that happened this week. We're recording this on a Thursday. That was on a Tuesday of this week.
Total pro.
That was –
that's a pro move.
Well, I've been in the business for 12 years, Millar. I mean, you know, what do you know about that? You hired me. God, you were younger than I am right now when you hired me. That's weird. But
that is strange.
That's fucking weird, guys.
But Klein played well.
I hired Klein when he was like 17.
No, did you really?
Nah, he was older than that.
He was taking a lifeguard certification this week. I hope you got it, Klein, because he had to do the 300-meter swim. He's like, I thought I was going to die. I hope he's doing okay, but that was a really good match.
He got out of the pool?
He did. What? He got the brick at the bottom of 10 feet and all that shit.
Well done.
So that was defense number four. My hope is that when I face somebody soon, that defense number five is live.
It's on.
I actually brought the damn thing. There it is. I brought it just to show you.
Oh, the coin's on the table. The coin is on the table.
Now,
I will not touch it, but I do like to look at it.
Before we discuss your match against Millar, I'd be remiss to not ask about another tough start.
Did you see how I tried to just gloss over
it? Yes, I did. I did.
And we have to talk about it.
But you won the coin challenge against Klein, but you carded an 11 on hole two. Again, the early woes.
Early woes
Lang with an 11 on two. It was an APB. I was driving. I had to pull over. Like, why the fuck is there so many texts right now?
11-11. Holy 11. Shit. And then, holy fuck, are you kidding me? Shit.
And then Ian's just sending me 11 GIF. I'm like, holy shit, what is
was
going
he really?
On?
Yeah. Because that was not on our thread.
So tell us, we're playing hole two at Killarn. I know it well enough, but
how... But wasn't there a quad on one from Klein?
Yes, but...
regardless.
Irregardless. we need to know about this 11.
Yes. Okay. Please.
Because for what it's worth, if you've been playing recently, it's been a lot of good stuff, I guess, once you get past hole two. But how the fuck do you get 11 the way you play? All right.
To Killarn 11.
Alright, that's actually a fun story because...
Damn, he took the glasses off.
I mean, if you had an 11, you...
I'll recap every fucking shot.
Well, I can jump to shot four because I went OB left, and it was just that tee box on two at Killarn drives me fucking batty because it's a turtle back, and it's also like if you're climbing a roller coaster to the apex, the thing is like pointed up.
Well, just gotta hit it dead down the middle.
I know. I've got to figure out whatever adjustment that is to counterbalance the normal swing. But the thing had a lot of topspin on it, and it was left. But when it hit the ground, it shot left. It had the bad kick.
Hitting for it.
I was about maybe 3 yards inside the white stake. So back to the middle of the fairway, MGA rule, hitting four from about 135 out. I hit a pretty good shot. That's the best shot I hit in the hole. But it ended up 6 yards short, goes in the bunker. And here's the problem. And Klein took the bullet for this, but he told me early on that because he's a school teacher, for Christ's sake, the 3:30 tee time is going to be cutting it a little close.
He had a layover.
So he's like, hey, can you pay for the – he texted me earlier today. He's like, hey, can you pay for the round? I'll Venmo you after. I'm going to be right there at time. I was like, no problem. We tee off about 10 minutes late. A group started in front of us who was behind us, and then there was a group right behind us too. So we were all rushed. That's what he carded a quad on the first hole, and he didn't score anything close to that, I don't think, the rest of the day.
So he wasn't playing with you when he played the first hole?
No, he was.
Oh, he was.
But like everybody was just kind of flustered. Everybody was feeling kind of
flustered. FaceTime, go, hit.
Right.
Here we go, hit.
He didn't warm up and went off cold, and so did I. I didn't feel like it was fair to go warm up for an hour if he was going to show up right at tee time. So we both went off cold. I guessed on my first two shots. I guessed right. It was down the middle, and then I had a 20-footer up the hill. I made par. But then the second hole, the hurry took over. And I was in the bunker short. I bladed the bunker shot. I'm getting better at those, I swear to God. But I bladed it over the green. It's on 3T now. The ball's on 3T.
Jesus.
So I'm there in five. I duffed two chip. Well, I duffed one chip, and the second one ends up short of the green because I got the wrong goddamn club. I'm on the fringe in eight, and I three putt. So that's how I get to 11.
That's a great day.
It's, Can I tell you?
Didn't you birdie the next hole?
Well, that's the MGA moment.
Yeah, that's how it goes, man.
Okay, so that ball that I played on 1 and 2, I didn't lose a ball the whole day. I played with the same fucking ball. I did not lose a ball on the 11. And Joe P. walked up to me. I got to give him credit because we played with Joe P. and not Nikki. Nikki actually was in St. Augustine for the week, and so Pete filled in. And it was originally supposed to be the chapter leader. But Joe P. walked up to me as Klein is putting for birdie because he hit it left, but then he hit unbelievable recovery shots like 20 feet. He's like, "Hey, man, you all right? Settle down." I'm like, "Joe, I swear to God, I'm fine." I was like, "It's not a swing problem. It's not anything. I just feel a little rushed. I'll be fine. Trust me." He's like, "Okay, just checking on you."
Split away from groups and shit.
Then I three putted, and he's like, "You sure?" I'm like, "I'm sure." So the next hole is 3, and it's a brief story, but it's 163, and I stick it to 8 feet. I make the birdie. I'm like, "All right, we're fine. We're fine." Now it's just a matter of, is Klein going to give me an opening? Because I went from up 3 to down 4
right
in one hole.
Whoops.
So, yeah, yeah. But that's the 11. It required OB, a bladed bunker shot, a duff chip, and a 3-putt. That's how you get to 11.
Really. Welcome to the MGA.
You're damn right, and I'm proud of you. I feel more MGA after the 11.
Blue-blooded member.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, that'll do it.
How you get there. I asked Joe P. walking off the green, I'm like, "Are you a hockey fan at all?" He's like, "I don't know." I said, "You know who Mark Messier is?" He's like, I'm like, "Do you know what number he wore?" He's like, "Nope, I'm like 11. Because he was keeping score off. He's like, he stopped. He goes, 11? I'm like, "Yeah, man.
Yeah.
11.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what
we
do.
We play the ball down here, brother." Yeah, that's 11.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm speechless too after your 11, I gotta tell you.
So I would say with, and I think this was mentioned the other day, with a win and 5 wins and defenses of the coin, newest best noob king. Can we take that away from Cohen, who won the first noob king?
I mean, the thing is, again, when Ian posted that on the thread, that was definitely bait to try to get a reaction from Joe Petrowski.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was also
true.
Which I must admit, I thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah, and kudos to Joe for sniffing it out right away because he was the first reply.
He knew.
So
Aussie posted coin legend, and I was like, that at best, because the coin's been around for 10 minutes. You know, we haven't had much of legend in the coin yet. It's been around not a full season, but Joe P is the damn standard. That is the first time. I've been playing for 2+ years now. That's the first time I ever got to play with Joe P ever.
Really?
Yes.
He's a horrible time.
It is a no. Listen, that is the standard. Holy Jesus. Yeah. He's got a 3/4 driver shot. I've never seen such a thing. On 4, he clearly just turns like this, and for the people that are listening, it's just like a little half turn back and through to hit a driver 260 down the middle. I'm like, "Was that a 3/4 driver?" He's like, "Yeah." Yeah. I'm like,
"Easy game. You can't
you
do that?
Fuck. You fuck."
Yeah.
He is the standard, man. It's crazy.
When it's right, it's fucking a beauty to watch.
Oh.
And the thing is, too, and he
it's also fun when it's not a beauty to watch.
Well, he said this to me before. Like, he's not the guy when he scores. Like, he had 5 birdies. Right.
Yep.
It's just like, par, 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 par,
yeah.
Bogey, par. You know, it's just
oh,
steady Eddie all day.
I'll tell you, we played the exact opposite match. I had 4 fucking birdies in that round. And he did not have 1 birdie, but I think he had like 14 pars.
Yep.
I mean, we were the exact opposite. I had an 11, an 8. I had a double bogey. He had maybe 1 double, maybe, on the day. And it was pars and bogeys. That's it. And it's like 14 pars. Well, it's absurd.
Well, one other thing before we go to the – I know we're going to get to the Bastards preview in a little bit, but I at least wanted to put it on wax on the pod. What you've called Mount Rosé. I'd like you to just – For those of you who are on the thread or whatever, can you just explain what Mount Rosé is and how you're currently the only member of Mount Rosé?
All right, so I got a little carried away after my first win.
As you did. Yeah.
But can I point out that after the win, we went to Thomasville. It was a crew of 4 of us. It was Team Kowaprowski, whatever, Pipe Kowas, and me and Bill, and I had 4 bottles of water. I had half a beer because I knew the rosé was going to kick my ass. Also, props to Aussie for saying, "Hey, did you drive?" I'm like, "No, man, I'm good. We got some good people
there. Did you drive, man?"
Right. But then I got home and then I partied once I got home. That was a great night. So I took a video, and I wanted to create the Batman 1989 music when it like pans up about Mount Rose, which is you win and you defend the coin at the same time. That's tough because you got to focus on one thing at a time, but that's what the feat will be. So I cannot wait to welcome the next person to Mount Rose, which is you win a tournament, you grab the check, and you defend the coin all at the same time.
Which might be coming up here on the next couple of weeks. Which I'm kind of scared about now. Yeah, right here, 101 challenging for that coin and the third straight Bastards tournament.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be something. I mean, I guess if we're here, we might as well talk the Bastards. It is Let's the it. Most important tournament of the year, I think.
That you'll ever play in.
I mean, some people people are saying that Matsuyama has requested to play in the Bastards.
And it's been denied. I heard it.
And you're like, I'm sorry. Green jacket, gold jacket, who gives a shit? You did not qualify for the Bastards.
There will be no trucker hat for you to carry through the
airport.
Don't
know to tell him.
Yeah. So Bastards coming up, and the challenge is right here, 101 against T Lang for the coin. So hoping to be on Mount Rose, I suppose.
I guess it would be a Mount Rose if you win the coin away.
Well, goddamn, yeah, it would be.
That counts the same.
If you're leaving the tournament with the check and the Rose.
Absolutely. And the coin?
And the coin, sorry. Yeah, I think
if the GOAT does, that would be your 11th check?
Yes.
Third Masters in a row.
I like that you're keeping track here. I appreciate this.
Well, I'm never going to catch. Who's going to catch that shit? Yeah. Nobody ever, right?
Well, you know, no.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
someone might. I don't know who of them.
It just depends. You know, ebbs and flows.
Ebbs and flows. Exactly. We're playing at Highlandman, which is one of our historic courses for the Bastards, which I always think is appropriate because it's a shorter course, but it has its idiosyncrasies and it has its own defenses, which I think is appropriate for a Bastards.
Agreed.
I guess as we look at, you know, if you had to say who's your under the radar guy that you're going to take in the Bastards, we can't pick each other. You can't pick someone who's won tournaments in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Who's your guy behind the guy, the under the radar guy? Because I think there's a lot of them out there.
Oh, there's a ton.
And this course is it has its own things which sets up for some. It sets up better for some players than others, obviously. So
always.
I guess is there anyone that kind of jumps out for you? I guess I have one. If you folks want to
lead off, man, I've talked a lot.
Well, I mean, usually towards the end of these podcasts, we make specific bets. So is this betting time, or do we just want to throw out dark horses and then new bets?
Dark horses, then bets.
Yeah. Okay. I like some dark horses.
Okay. All right. I'm in on dark horses.
Okay. I mean, I guess I'll start just because I've thought he's due. I frankly thought Thomasville was gonna be good for him. I haven't checked if he's playing, so this is my bad.
That's what I'm pulling up right now.
But I just think that Heilman and everything and how he was playing during the coin challenges, it just seems like a place where Scotty Woods has a top five in him.
My number one pick.
Like, it's just there. You know, Scotty has a lot of, there's a lot of things about Heilman that matches his game. You know, keep him between the trees, and
he has committed to play the Bastards. Okay.
Yes, he's in. He's in.
As of April 1st, he did commit.
The thing is, we have so many people who are contending now. I don't want to call him a dark horse, but he's not the guy who's, you know, it'd be his first win, and the first win that would be the Bastards, that'd be something.
He's never out of a hole, man. My God. You were there.
Yeah.
So by about hole 10 or 11, that should have been over.
Yeah.
Right? And he goes, T green, and you're like, oh, it's TikTok, man.
Yep.
It's just down the middle on the green. And I was like, holy fuck. If I shoot 45, I'm going to lose. Like, you've got to gear up.
Yep.
He's never, ever out of a hole. It's so much fun to watch.
Scramble that. City.
Oh, Scramble City, which is what you need at Highland.
Yeah, got to have it. All right, I'll go next. My under-the-radar guy, he's due. He should have. I don't want to say he should have, but he could have won already if he gets his shit together. I'm going with Brian Dunn, Mr. B. Dunn.
B. Dunn, nice.
If he runs into one, it's a low 80 score. And he's carrying, let me look here, he's carrying nothing.
And on top of that, a little TLHMJ history. Dalton has a second place in a Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
And the person he got who got first is no longer with us. And I don't mean that person is dead. I just mean we are blessed that he no longer
plays. He is no longer with us.
Because fuck Voldemort.
The name that shall not be mentioned. All right, last on a dark horse.
You got a dark horse?
Yeah, well, I got one. One's not necessarily a dark horse. Brewster is carrying five. But
is he?
Yeah, he's carrying five right now. But he's already gone to a playoff before. I played with the guy in the sweater tournament. He can play. And so if the number rises to like 86, 87, you know, for everybody else, then he's most certainly in play. I'm going to be the diplomatic one. I'll bring a lot to the table. Klein, I just played with him. The recovery shots he hit in that round, he probably hit 10 recovery shots that are incredible, which is what that's all Heilman is, yeah. Is recovery yeah. shots.
Yep.
And then finally, Mr. Alan Ball. Alan Ball
is. Oh, yeah.
I played with him at Southwood at one point. He's carrying nothing. Like Klein.
Yep. Yep.
I played with Alan once at Southwood. He's like, this course is just too fucking long. And he got mad. That's the only time I've ever seen him mad. But then at courses, remember, he and Piggy were going toe-to-toe last year at the FU.
They were?
Yeah. So Heilman, in terms of course length, is shorter. So I think Alan is right in the mix there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think people will forget about him because he hasn't been able to play in the last couple tournaments.
Yep.
You know, he hasn't really been playing with us yep. since that much, or at least he didn't.
We played the coin challenge, yeah. And you could still see it. Like, I mean, Alan and Scott are like... If you played against them in a team match, you're going to be pissed off by the end of the day.
Yeah, you're going to get killed.
You guys are done. You're out of the hole. Yeah. The next thing you know, they're putting the par from 6 feet and bank off the pin. Like, yeah, he's meant for it, man.
Absolutely.
All right, for the wager, I think we do our little two-person team snake draft with penalty strokes, total strokes.
I'm good with that. Yeah, okay. That works.
And Lang, since you're...
You know me, I like the game.
I will let you pick... If you want to go first, second, or third, because this is a snake draft, so you're the guest, so you can pick your spot.
Okay. The guest gets to do that?
Yes.
Yeah. So we just made that up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I will pick. I'll pick third. I mean, I'm gonna return the favor.
So you want the turn?
I'll return the favor. That's fine.
Yeah. So you're gonna go third and fourth. Millar, do you want first or second?
Why me? You want to rock, paper, scissors?
No, I'll take whatever's...
I'll take second then.
Okay, I go first?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to start... I guess I got to look at this. You know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to take the guy who I think pulls a Peter Ford and goes back-to-back, goes Am-Am Bastards, and I'm going to take you, Lang, so you cannot better yourself.
God, oh, nice pick.
And even though I know it's from the tips... Of all the places, yep. Heilman's the tips. Not that it's going to be fun, but it's less.
Only 12. You saw where 12 is.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Heilman, which comes from the Latin for new cart paths.
Yeah.
12 is a little bit different now because you're over the water. But yeah, you're correct. If I could pick a course to play from the tips, this would be it.
Yes, sir. All right, who you got, Lauren?
All right, a man who, owes me, not owns me, but owes me. And has been too close for too long is going to be CL.
You're going with Ian, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. You take Ian in his... But I've been told like having five or six penalty strokes is impossible. Like,
no, that's what I've heard. You know, the rumor is it's
so
doable.
You are going against that particular piece of knowledge that it's impossible to win with five or six strokes.
I am. And somebody says it is impossible, but it doesn't work for me.
And I guess Joe P is one with eight, so I guess it's not impossible.
You know, it could be.
So maybe that level of research has not been fully made by whoever came up with that.
Once again, I was one shot short with 10. God forbid I had 6 that day.
Yeah,
one
if only we knew somebody to do research on these things.
What can you do?
What can you do? All right, Lang, you got back to back.
I promise it's not a circle jerk here, but I'll take you, Joey. That's number one. Oof. And I will take Nicky Maz as my other one.
Well, you are a dick.
Maz is carrying
two. Because that was my pick.
Well, he's carrying two.
He's carrying two.
Jesus.
He's got tunes.
Wait, I played with him the day before I got married. I played with him, Dan, and Aussie. He fires at either an 80 or an 82. It's been debated since then. Either way, I think that's a winning score. Carrying two?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. That's in him, man.
That's easy.
All right, Mahler.
All right. Let's see here. I got to go. I'm going to go to a very good dark horse pick here. Scotty Woods. Carrying nothing. He's due. He is due, man.
Yeah. He's fucking tough, dude.
I know. That was actually going to be mine. I was trying to...
He beat me in the team event. He's tough as nails.
He needs to chill on the liquor till, like, 12, and then we can get into it, Scott.
Yeah, I guess we got... You know, I'd be obviously considering Pete, but he's got some...
You didn't bet yourself, huh?
Yeah, you can bet yourself.
No, I said you didn't.
But he didn't.
I didn't. Okay. Shot a 111.
But you challenged for the coin, brother.
Back-to-back bastards, you know, you figure you might run into one.
I tell you what, that tells me maybe you don't take the guy who won't even pick himself.
I saw you just pulled up.
This is the equivalent of the Tunsil gas mask. Draft photo. Okay, I can't pick that guy.
Did you guys just want to hug him after you saw that? I love him. He loves life. This guy is awesome.
Fucking Laramie getting high enough.
All right, here's what I'm gonna do. I gotta pick one OG, so I'm gonna go with Birkin. I'm gonna go with Birkin on my team.
I saw you pull him up on your phone. That's a great pick. He played well. He got fucked by Country Oaks.
And he's won a Bastards before. I believe he's won at Highwayman before. I'm not sure of, but I know he's won a Bastards. So it is my Lang and Burke against Millar's Ian and Scotty Woods and Lang's JSG and Nicky Maz.
That's good, man.
But
do we want to do something on the three of us?
With Lang's run and also him whooping my ass at Howland once
and
already.
And you picking him?
And me picking him first overall. I'm not sure if I want to.
That's going
to
be a no for me, though.
Throw the strokes out. Throw him out. Joey beat me in Country Oaks.
Now, Lang's still the favorite, but I'll make that bet.
Low gross, no strokes. What do you say? First tall boy.
Yeah.
They're like $2 a
mile. I was going to say like
$20. Oh, $20, whatever. Yeah.
$20. $20, low gross, no strokes.
So winner gets 60?
40.
40 technically, yeah. net yeah. 40. Yeah.
All right. I like that.
All right.
It's nice to be here. I hope I get here.
It's a good time. We're all in a good mood. Bastards is coming up. Favorite tournament of the year.
The most important tournament.
Hey, way to go on that video. Like, I was like, I want to win a major. And then I saw the video. I'm like, I want to win that major. Way to go, man.
You know, I appreciate it. And I think I've said this before. I'm not sure if we said it on the podcast. I mean, KG did the really heavy lifting with the editing and putting, you know, kind of, after we had all the interviews, kind of making it.
And he's still going to be there, right?
Yep, KG's flying in for it.
Tomorrow, right? He's coming here tomorrow.
Next Friday.
Next Friday
before
the KG,
the
fuck do I want to give you a hug, man. I haven't seen you in so long. I hope you're vaccinated because I'm going to give you a real big one.
No, I think
he does. I think he does.
Yeah, either way.
I don't know. He'll tell you when he sees you before he hugs you.
I will admit, there's a lot to like about that video. The fact that Morley showed up to the world premiere? For those of you who don't know, John Morley is a guy who runs all of MGA. So he showed up for the Zoom world premiere. So that was like, oh shit, okay. So this is
real.
This is something. So, but yeah, my favorite part is just, I love the title. I watched all that video.
A few beers later.
Future?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it.
A few drinks later.
A few drinks after. And you're like, oh shit, yep.
I got the fucking hat. Yep.
No, but I love going through that process. Like talking to folks, I mean, talking to you, Millar, you won a couple. But even like a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor, like so much what we wanted to do with like Pete's interview was like how much thought went into every little thing. Like the colors on the sign and that was all new to me.
That's awesome.
New to you folks, but it was like there's so many little pieces there and the whole trail and then Nikki taking it to that next level, because that was almost like every person we talked to was like, well, there was Nikki's dinner or breakfast, which was just
so. I'll say this, my favorite, I don't know if it was the camera angle or even just the interview, was Nikki Maz at the bar. It was so good.
Yeah, so that was done. You probably
at corner pocket, I'm sure.
Bumpus.
Oh wow.
So like we did it during Zoom because we did a lot of this in like December and January.
The fuck a Zoom.
And he was just I'm like, all right, so Maz, we're not doing the Zooms then. I'm like, okay, so we did it at Bumpus, and yeah, I was just sitting here, you guys can't see, but just holding it in front of me and go get him, Nikki. And that was a fun conversation. I got really close to getting mazzed that day at the bar.
Well, it was still daylight out,
too. Yeah, because you're like three or four drinks in, and you're like, Nikki, I got to go, otherwise this can turn
into
get mazzed.
Oh, have another one.
Hey, I had my first experience in this coin run. It's been amazing.
Yeah,
the first mazz, we were at Killarn. I think we played like a 10 o'clock round, maybe an 8 o'clock round. The sun was down before I left. Holy shit. Those guys are for real.
You don't know when it's happening, too, and then it just does.
Yep.
I mean, it is an experience to get mazzed. You haven't lived until you've been mazzed, and that means you're official.
Well, we talked about it once here in the Mazz Doghouse, too. The Mazz Doghouse is a real thing.
Oh, Mazz Doghouse is a real thing.
Oh, my God.
You can't walk into your wife and say, I got mazzed. She doesn't know what that is. And
no.
It's not. By that time, you're so drunk, it's not worth explaining, and you just go to bed. I got mazzed. I'll see you later.
The expense penalty.
Yeah. I guess I think that's it. We talked about.
I
talked about everything that's going on. Bastard's coming up. I do want to say that with the Bastard's breakfast this year, there's a new wrinkle that I just kind of want to announce right now. New wrinkle.
All right.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, you're not doing the whole thing?
No, I'm not going to do the whole thing.
Well, let's announce the wrinkle then.
No, can't announce the wrinkle. There will be a new addition to the Bastards Breakfast and Winner this year. So I can't reveal my sources. I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, we look forward to it, Lang. Any parting thoughts before we the next time we see or hear from any of us, it is going to be at the Bastards, probably. So any final thoughts
for the coin too
before I take it home?
Once again, just thanks everybody for listening, because this is when you win. This is what it's about, doing this interview for this podcast.
Kyle's getting teary-eyed.
Yeah, I know. It's a big moment for him. Because he listens to you, Tom. So he's like, oh, my God, Tom won. It was a big moment.
Kyle?
Tom is on the podcast that I listen to? Holy shit.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciated it. And good luck to everybody who's listening to this, including Kyle, at the Bastards. In case you're playing, sir.
Yeah, Joey, bring it home. I do not know what's coming up next, but I'm pretty sure you're going to tell
us. Well, I'm going to tell you on the next Mediocre Happy Hour, I'm going to tell you how Tom Lang started triple-triple, overcame audio issues on his tune box to win the Bastards.
Hey there, Big Voice Guy here again, wrapping things up. Check back next time for another rousing edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour. Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or account of this podcast without the express written consent of the Tallahassee MGA is prohibited. Son of a bitch, you guys take this thing seriously around here, huh? Well, I'm gone.